Everything you need
for a brand new day.
Cliffo and Kate for breakfast.
On the Cliffo and Kate podcast today, we asked the question, what is the oldest appliance in your house? I'm surprised Matt, your husband, didn't call and say, my wife, Kate.
I will be traded in very shortly for a newer appliance. Thanks for that, Cliffo. Hey, we're also joined by 3rd Brigade Brigadier Dave McCammon to talk about a very important trip announcement, Cliffo.
Yeah, it's coming up. The Cliffo and Kate podcast.
Housing market just continues to kick goals with house prices still rising, vacancy rates are low. To share some insight into the Townsville market, we are joined this morning by Giovanni Spinella, who is the Managing Director and Sales Agent at Ray White Townsville. Morning, Gio.
Good morning. Hello.
Kate forgot to add the busiest man in North Queensland as well, Gio.
Yes,
mate, I've spent some time with you.
Days.
Your phone never stops ringing and beeping, does it?
No, it is crazy. It's just it's one of those things, even more so at the moment. People are just trying to jump the queue, so it's great. But anyway, all good.
So we were hearing, like Kate mentioned this last week, we're hearing stories of, like, when it comes to rentals, less than 1% occupancy in the city. Demographer Bernard Salt has come out and he said 34,000 people are going to be needed to, like 34,000 extra people are going to need to be accommodated in Townsville by 2040, which is just huge. What does all this stuff mean for the Townsville housing market at present and into the future?
Well, already we are in a supply and demand phase, which means we've got such a low supply in the market. So less than 450 houses for rent in the whole Townsville greater region as of yesterday, and less than 1,200 houses for sale. So that just naturally means that there's just not enough houses for families to live in. And the transition between renting and buying just can't happen quick enough. So, you know, the numbers they are talking, obviously we peaked at that 200,000 population there last week as well, which is a huge thing for Townsville. Like, we haven't been there in a long time, but obviously we just need to really focus on infrastructure and building houses as quick as we can. But it is also going to keep the pressure on the rental market and also the prices in Townsville as well.
Gio, flipping over to the sales side, days on market are pretty reflective in terms of what the market is doing. Explain to us days on the market, how long are properties staying on the market at the moment, and what does that actually mean for the sales market as well?
Yeah, look, on average at the moment, if looking at the Townsville wide, the average days on market is around 26. But if you actually take that back to realistic days where, you know, homes hit the market and then actually get unconditional, which is meaning their conditions are settled, it's only about 18 days. So typically, you know, a home goes on the market, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, we got our first inquiries within 30 minutes of those properties landing online. Everyone is so active looking for the notifications to say that new properties are online. And a lot of the times, typically before the first open home, we've got multiple offers on the table. So it is, you know, negotiations are happening very quickly. You know, and it is a frustrating thing for a buyer to make a call on a Friday and to hear, oh, we've already got some offers on the property, and when they think they're doing, you know, the best they can to get in front of the house. So, it's tricky.
Being such a strong seller's market, what is your advice to buyers?
Well, look, the advice to buyers is be ready. Like, the thing I can say to them is, you know, make sure you've got your list ready to go. What is the requirements that you need? If the house ticks those boxes or is very close to ticking those boxes, jump quickly. Be ready to make an offer. Hesitation is at the moment is where people are missing out.
He's a good salesman, this bloke. He sold my wife and I the last house. Giovanni Spinella is his name. Ray White Townsville is his agency. If you're happy, Gio, we need to get you on more often, mate. Because
absolutely.
Look, it's interesting to watch the market, I think. And Townsville's not the most volatile market in Australia. So to see it sort of jumping around a little bit has been interesting. So
absolutely.
Thanks
We've
for your time, mate. Yeah, we'll get on again soon. Thanks, Gio.
All right, have a good day.
Before the break, so we had Easter off in the couple of days after that, Kate. Just before the break, do you remember how I was telling you about all of the kerfuffle around our fridge?
It was a drama.
So I went, where was the footy with some mates, I think. And, yeah, came back. And the fridge had died. Yeah. And this is like the big fridge in the kitchen with all of our stuff. And, you know, we went all out when we moved into the new house. Like, it's a plumbed in fridge and all that with the water and the ice
fancy,
was melted.
It's a fancy one.
It's a whole thing. So the beer fridge, like, the beer had to be sacrificed. The beer got warm and all the food and everything got transferred in and all that. We ended up having the guy come around, and it was a 2-year-old fridge. Can I say that?
what I'm going to say, you know, it was an LG fridge.
Yeah.
And I've had nothing but good times with LG. We have had a few.
Great brand, LG. Good reputation, seemingly, all of that
well,
stuff.
Well, up until a few weeks ago for me, the guy comes around and he's like, Kelvinator's blown. This happens all the time. And I'm like, is it the Kelvinator? That's just the thing that...
Like the motor
thing? The motor thing just
yeah,
went...
Yeah, right.
Poof.
Really?
And he said something about how, yeah, they're made in China now and they're not as good and they struggle in the heat up here and it just went kaput. And he's like, I do these all the time. So I was just like, oh, no, whatever. So luckily it was covered by warranty. We've got a new fridge in. All's well that ends well. But it has got me thinking, like the lifespan of a fridge being 2 years blows my mind.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, particularly when I think, literally, Kate, from birth until I was well into my teens, so I'd say 16 or 17, we had the same fridge at our house growing up. So, and mum and dad had it before I was born. So I'd hazard a guess that fridge probably lasted 20-odd years down to what I had,
wow,
which was 2 years.
They just don't make them like that. I can think the same thing in our family, Cliffo, where we grew up. I reckon we had our family fridge for a good 10 to 15 years before we moved into a new house and it was a different size and upgraded. I had a fridge. We had a beer fridge out the back of our place as well. Same thing. 2 years was busted. It was just a cheap fridge. It wasn't a fancy schmancy one, but it was just our backup beer, wine sort of fridge at the time. And the guy came to have a look at it and he was like, no, it's completely busted. He goes, it's not even worth fixing. So we threw it out.
They don't make them like they used to. 1-333-353. Give us a call, North Queensland. What's the oldest appliance in your house? Do you have something? Could be the toaster, could be the kettle, could be the microwave, could be something bigger like the fridge or the washing machine or chest freezers. They used to last forever.
They did, didn't they? The really big, deep freeze ones.
I can throw a body in those things. what's an appliance? Like, think about what's at your house. What's something that has just been going and going and going? Good news, LG story. Our LG microphone, I was going to say. No, that's radio. Our LG microwave, I had before I met Michelle.
Is that right? It's still going.
Yeah, so it'd be 14 years old. That's pretty good for a mic.
I've got our microwave, Matt had before we got in a relationship. So ours is coming up to 10 years old.
Yeah.
So microwaves perhaps have legs and
had it longer
not
than
fridge.
The kids, mate.
That's true, we have.
Say that to the kid. When Bo starts back chatting again, go, mate.
Get out.
Just remember your place here. You're behind the microwave, son. 1-333-353. What is the oldest appliance in your house? They just don't make them like they used to. Jesma's called up. Jesma, what's the oldest appliance at your place?
I've got a Fisher & Paykel fridge that was made in Zillmere that I bought in 1994 and it's still going.
Wow. So what's that, a 30-year-old fridge, 35-year-old fridge? Wow.
It's now been designated back out to the garage because we buy bigger fridges for our kitchen.
Yeah.
Going and it keeps all the chocolates for our business going.
Beautiful.
Fisher & Paykel, hey? They just don't make them like that anymore, though, do they, Jesma?
No, they don't, because we've had the same problem with an LG 2 years, just a month before the warranty finished.
Yeah.
Oh, no, a month before the warranty as well.
Got a new fridge. It lasted only a week, so we had three fridges.
Wow.
They replaced all of them.
Oh, God. 30 years, though.
Yeah, I reckon.
For the old faithful.
Back to the old Fisher & Paykel trusty fridge.
Mikey's here. Mikey on 1-333-353. Oldest appliance at your place?
I was married in 1984. Bought the fridge then, and we still have it.
40 years.
Okay, 1984. That is the year that Cliffo
was
born. So you have a fridge in your house, Mikey, that is as old as the man sitting opposite me.
We do. And you know what? It's been the best fridge we've ever had.
Yeah, well.
It's been cold. We did have a scare earlier this year because we thought, oh, no, it went on the blink, but we turned it off and turned it back on and she's running as good as new.
You had a scare. It's like you're talking about an older grandma, like had a bit of a health scare. Okay,
well,
went to hospital.
40 years, Kate, you get bloody connected to a fridge that good.
That's great, Mikey.
Danny's here. What's the oldest appliance at your place?
Mate, my old girl has still got a microwave from 1985.
What's 39-year-old microwave?
Yeah.
Yep. Jeez, that's good.
Still going.
Is it probably isn't now, but was it a white microwave? Because I'd imagine,
you know, appliances after so long, if they were white, they get that kind of browny
tinge
kind of
on them, don't they?
Age haze to them, Danny.
But it still looks good. It wasn't originally white. It was like a browny stain colour on it, and that's still exactly the same.
God, that highlights how old it was. Yeah. The fact that it wasn't.
How about your actual old girl? She's still hanging around with a microwave or what?
Yep.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, good.
Danny's like, I'll trade her in before I went to the microwave.
Triple M has a long-standing relationship with the Australian Defence Force. We are very blessed this morning to be joined by the Brigadier of the 3rd Brigade, Dave McCammon. Morning, Dave.
Morning. Morning, Cliff. How are you both going?
Mate, we're really great. You're also joined by another bloke beside you here. You know him. You're familiar with him. You guys went on a little jaunt over to PNG last year, CK.
Yeah, a jaunt, definitely. I like that kind of
hard work. Hard work. Yeah.
It was a junket. It wasn't work. I've seen the photos. And look, we are very proud today to announce Triple M has had a long and I think pretty distinguished sort of history with the ADF here in Townsville. It's something that we're very proud of here at Triple M. And we can announce that's going to continue because with Anzac Day at the end of the month, I don't know what's gotten into you, Dave, but something has inspired you to invite the bloke next to you, CK, over to the Solomon Islands. So it continues.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, Anzac Day, particularly for the brigade. We've got a lot of people deployed at the moment across PNG, Solomons, Malaysia. We'll go into the Philippines in the next week or so. And as part of that, I'm going to go to the Solomon Islands to represent the Defence Force there. So I thought a great opportunity for Triple M to come along and tell the story of the soldiers and ADF members that are actually in the Solomons day in, day out working and what an important day to show the work they do around the region on Anzac Day.
What sort of work are our soldiers doing in the Solomons? Because someone who's not in the defence and, you know, I guess doesn't have anyone directly in my family in the defence, what are the sort of day in, day out things that our guys and girls are actually doing in the Solomons?
Yeah, we are very fortunate. We produce really good trainers and our team are fantastic at getting in and helping and training. So we do a bunch of training work, help the police force over there. A lot of times we send some engineers, they do some assistance in search work. Coming into this year, there'll also be some support for the elections where we provide some logistics support to make sure everyone gets the opportunity to vote across what is quite a logistical challenge of a country that hasn't got the same sort of infrastructure that we have.
Oh, cool.
Now, CK.
Yeah.
Cliff. The fastest gun in the West to put his hand up to any junket on offer, let me tell you, like lightning speed, this is not your first rodeo.
No.
ADF.
Obviously very lucky last year to accompany Beck and Pricey over to PNG with Dave and all the guys. One thing I probably took away from it was how fortunate we are here at Triple M Townsville. Not only just in the Triple M brand, but every single radio station in Australia, probably New Zealand as well too, because no one else is getting this kind of access to work with the soldiers so closely. Like, you know, last year Dave took us to these spots up on the hill where the Japanese soldiers, you know, ultimately surrendered and basically handed over the sword during World War II. And this year having an opportunity to visit the Solomons and see where so much history from people from our own backyard. You know, it's not lost on me that, you know, Triple M again getting this kind of opportunity to go in and work so closely with these people. And then obviously broadcast back. Our plan is to do the dawn service from the Solomons back to Australia here.
Isn't that exciting?
And visit some sites and share that history with, you know, 90% of us probably will never get that opportunity to go to the Solomons and see this kind of stuff and maybe connect with our defense history. So yeah, Dave, mate, I'm thank you so much. Very honoured to be joining you in the team.
Yeah, and it's a bit of one-way traffic here. I've got to highlight the great work that Triple M does for us in highlighting the work that our team does. So, you know, we go away a lot, and particularly for families, they get limited exposure to what their partners or family are doing overseas. So thanks for making the effort to come and see what we do and show that to the broader community. And it's such a great garrison city, and having the opportunity to explain what we do out at Laverack is great. So thank you.
After the PNG trip, I will say CK looked pretty comfortable in the photos and stuff. So if you want to, like, if you need to cut some, like, stretcher beds, basic rations.
Oh, we didn't do too much of that. I can tell you that. Definitely got to sample some of PNG's finest local lagers. And I hope, Dave, you and I might be able to try one of Solomon's ones as well.
Bring it back to basics, Dave, if we don't mind. We just can't wait. So it's all going to be happening Anzac Day week, which is only a few weeks away. All the time you'll hear it on our show. CK doing stuff right throughout the day, and that special Anzac service live on Triple M and the Listener app. For now, CK and Brigadier Dave McCammon, guys, thank you so much and enjoy the trip.
Thank you.
Triple M's pressure test. 10 questions, 60 seconds, and a grand in the hand.
And the pressure test worth $1,000 tomorrow morning. It's back. Oh, do you need time? Kate just furiously waved her hands in the air. You
got
find
it.
Your sheet.
I got
so
it.
Tomorrow is Thursday, the 11th of April, and we give away a free answer right now, Kate.
The question is, what phrase does E.T. famously say?
E.T. Found home!
Bang on.
Is that right?
It is bang on.
Phone home. Of course, that's your free answer for tomorrow's pressure test on Triple M and Listener.
The Townsville Cruise Terminal is looking to have a little bit of an upgrade. So they're putting out a tender for cruise terminal upgrades. So we're joined this morning by Dave McLaughlin, who is the Project Delivery GM. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Kay. How are you?
Mate, really well.
We're both great, mate. I was actually at the last time I was at Quayside Terminal was Pricey's Farewell, which was probably, what, October, November or something, Kate? I said on air yesterday, Dave, Quayside Terminal is such a beautiful setup straight away. What needs to be done to it to improve it?
Yeah, I agree. It is a beautiful place. We're preparing to do some works which will transform it. Prepare us for welcoming larger passenger vessels for the 24-25 cruise season.
It looks like that 2024-25 is due to be a pretty bumper sort of cruise season. Is it that we need obviously sort of more capacity there? Is there need to be sort of work to make sure that we can get these larger sort of vessels in to the terminal as well?
We are planning a bumper season. We've got 25 vessels already booked for that season. Mm-hmm. Some of those are large class cruise ships for the first time that will come here. And they'll carry up to 3,000 passengers, which is triple the number of guests we've greeted on any one ship to date.
Wow. So go into specifics for us, Dave. What are the actual works that you guys want carried out at Quayside to lift its standards a little bit?
Yeah, so we'll upgrade the terminal's bus and taxi rank. That'll be expanded to accommodate 12 buses. And there'll be a dedicated kiss-and-ride drop-off zone. It'll include landscaping, seating, shade structures, all of which provide a tropical welcome to Townsville.
So by the sound of it, it's all staff to make it easier for passengers to get off a cruise ship, get into the city, spend some money, hopefully, go to Billabong Sanctuary, go to Maggie Island, do whatever they're going to do. But it's all designed to get them in and out of the terminal quicker, faster, easier.
That's right. We want to ensure that they have a seamless experience when getting out to explore our region. And we want them to remember Townsville as a port to revisit.
Dave, is there any other sort of, I guess, festivities or any sorts of, I guess, activities that you sort of put on in and around the terminals when these cruise ships do come in?
Yes, there's a hive of activity when the cruise ships come in. We have markets in place. We have people with reptiles for them to look at. And often we have music there too.
That's good.
And there's always coffee.
Well. Good. Tick, tick.
Tick, tick, tick. Dave, it's a beautiful asset, Quayside Terminal. It really is. If you've ever been to an event there, as the sun comes down and...
It's gorgeous.
Oh, watching the SeaLink, the boats, the stuff come in and out. It's just a great setup and it's a really good showcase to highlight Townsville. So to hear it's going to be made even better is great news. Dave McLaughlin, Project Delivery GM at the Port of Townsville. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. It's Triple M Breakfast.